The text for the message this morning is Deuteronomy 31, and verses 6 through 8. We're going to begin our scripture reading in the previous chapter, Deuteronomy 30, at verse 15. And we'll read into chapter 31 through verse 8. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. This is Moses speaking to the people. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan, to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, and that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. We read God's holy word to that point this morning. Our text is verses 6, 7, and 8. I'll reread that again. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Beloved of God, the Israelites at this point are very near to the end of their journey to the land of Canaan from Egypt. If this is the Jordan River, then they are perched just on the east side of the Jordan River and are about to cross that river into the land of Canaan and then face Jericho and conquer the land. Moses, however, will not be the man at the helm as they cross the Jordan River and conquer the land of Canaan. As you recall, he had struck the rock in anger when God was not angry at his people, and therefore God said, You shall not enter into the land of Canaan, Moses. They are stopped on the east side of the river, and this now, the book of Deuteronomy, is Moses speaking his last words. He preaches really sermons to Israel before he dies and before they go into the land. Moses is, in this book, preparing Israel for his own death and preparing Israel for the transition in leadership that's going to take place as Joshua now comes into Moses' position. In other words, Moses is helping Israel at this key moment to face the future. There is a progression to that end, even in the portion of the book of Deuteronomy that we just read. In the part from chapter 30, Moses is preparing the people for his death. He's really reflecting upon his own ministry in Israel. Verse 15, "See, I have set before thee this day life in good, death in evil, and that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God." He's really closing out Israel's history concerning himself. And then in the beginning of chapter 31, he's now helping Israel face the future with Joshua. He speaks to the people first. All of Israel is gathered before him. And he tells them, serve the Lord, be strong of courage, trust in God. And then he takes Joshua up in front of the people and sets Joshua next to him. And he exhorts Joshua in front of all of the people, telling Joshua to be strong, of good courage, serve the Lord and trust in him. As he looks to the future and addresses both Israel and Joshua, it's striking that he says to the people and to Joshua almost exactly the same thing. Verse 6 of our text is spoken to the people, to the Israelites. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And then verses 7 and 8 of our text are spoken to Joshua in front of the people. Be strong and of a good courage. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. We too are on an Exodus journey. Out of the Egypt of the bondage of our sin, traveling through the wilderness of this world to the heavenly Canaan that is before us. And this morning, like Israel, we're at a key point. We stop, we pause, and we face the future that is before us. It's New Year's morning, and we face the prospect of a new year into which we enter. And we also have installation of office bearers, and we stop and we face the prospect of this transition in some of the leadership in our congregation, as there was a transition in the leadership in Israel. And Moses has a word for both the people and for the newly appointed office bearer. And that word comes to us this morning, too, at this key moment, to the people and to the newly appointed office bearers. As we look to the future at this moment together, and just as for them, so for us this morning, the word is the same for both. Fear not. Fear not. Notice first this morning that charge, the charge, fear not. Second, the basis for that charge, not to fear. And third, the result of not fearing. Fear not, the charge, the basis, and the result. The charge that Moses repeats in verse 6 and verse 8 to God's people and to the new office bearer in the text is fear not. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. Verse 8, the Lord doth go before thee. Fear not. Fear is the response of the mind and heart to the perception that something is before us that is dangerous or that is a trouble, that is difficult, that could cause pain. Don't do it. says Moses. Don't respond to that perception with fear. And of course, as soon as Moses says that in the text, we recognize that there must be things that Moses perceives are fearful. He wouldn't say this, he wouldn't give this charge, unless there are things that are before both Israel and Joshua that are terribly frightening. And in fact, that is the case. Moses is addressing a very real situation in the life of Israel, real fears that are before them. Three, in fact. Three fears. First, there is the fear of the unknown future. The fear of the unknown future. Put yourself in Joshua's shoes for just a moment. He's called by God at this most crucial moment in Israel's history to now come and to lead this people, 2 million strong, into the land of Canaan to conquer that land. When Moses has been the only leader that they have known up to this point for 40 plus years, Moses, who was a faithful leader, who was an excellent leader, a wonderful leader of the people, and a man who had been prepared for this position and who now had a lot of experience in this position, and who you would think, well, now at this crucial moment, surely Moses is needed. Remember that God had prepared Moses for this position for 80 years. He was 80 by the time he was called to lead Israel out of the land of Egypt. 40 years he had been trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Another 40 years he had been a shepherd in Midian, as God used that to prepare him to lead a stubborn people. And he had been leading them for 40 plus years now. Surely Moses must be the man at this crucial moment to take them into the land. But no, here Joshua is called to come forward and to lead this people. He's not led a people like this before. He's a captain of the army. If you can call it an army, it's a ragtag band of slaves who've come out of Egypt. But he's never faced something like this before. He's not trained for this position, really. Fears. Fears about the future. Am I up to the task for this? Are the people going to follow me and my leadership? Remember, he doesn't know at this point all the things that you know about what happened after this. He doesn't know that the River Jordan is going to part for them. He doesn't know that Jericho's walls are going to fall down. He has to step forward and trust in this position. He doesn't know how the people are going to respond to him. There was a point along this journey that the people rebelled against Moses and tried to stone him. What are they going to do to me? They did that to Moses. What are they going to do to me? There's all kinds of fears. What's going to happen in the future? Am I prepared for this, really? Am I going to fail? Will I know what to do in all these different circumstances? What lies ahead for Israel here? Fears about the future. Put yourself in Israel's shoes, too. There's fears about the unknown future for them. We're at this key moment, and we have to go conquer the land, and our great leader is being taken away. How is Joshua going to do in this position? How is this going to go? Moses was like the voice of God to us. Moses confronted Pharaoh. Through Moses, the 10 plagues came down upon Egypt. Moses held up his staff, and the Red Sea parted for us. Manna came down at Moses' word. Joshua's never done a miracle. Who is this man? How is his leadership going to go? What if we have to face something really, we are going to face something really difficult right away. We have to conquer these nations. And this man is going to be at the helm? So too, beloved, this morning there can be a certain fear with us in the building as we face an unknown future. How's all this going to go? For the men who come into office at this point in the history of the church, in an age like this, where the sin and evil is so great, imagine the thoughts that go through these men's minds. What will the next year, the next 2 years, the next 3 years hold my term in office? What will God's providence place before us? What situations are going to arise in the life of the church that I'm going to be asked to handle, to deal with? Will we be up for this task? And now we are put into office without a pastor to lead us. And that's a whole other thing. We don't have the training that the pastor had. How are we going to face all of these things? Are we really prepared for this? And for God's people, there's a lot of unknown about the future too that can bring fear. Maybe about office bearers. How are they going to do without a pastor? Our church hasn't been in that situation for a long, long time. How's this going to go for them? Are they going to be able to respond to these things that arise in the church? Who knows what's going to happen the next 3 years? But then there can be fears and questions in God's people as you face the new year generally and look into the future. What's going to happen? Look at all the things that happened in 2022. When we stood here January 1, 2022, could anybody have predicted all the things that have happened this past year? Think about all of the emails that have come across the email list of this person who had this trial and this difficulty. None of them could have predicted it. And what about this coming year? Am I going to be on the email list pretty soon? What about my family? What about my children? How's this going to go? What if they're diagnosed with something? What if I am? Are my children going to remain faithful? What's coming? And are we really prepared for what's coming? So there's a fear of the unknown future in the people and in Joshua. But then second, there's at the same time that there is a fear of the unknown future, there's a fear of what most definitely is known about the future in the people and in Joshua. Not everything about the future is unknown. God had revealed to them at least this, that their future would contain great and terrible battles as they enter into the land of Canaan and face battle against all of these enemies, the very things that had led the 10 spies previously to report, there is no way we can enter into this land and conquer this land. I don't care if we have God with us, we can't do this. The enemies are too great. We're like grasshoppers before them. The Anakim are in this land, the sons of the giants. They have huge walled cities. They have standing armies, trained armies. We're slaves who've come out of Egypt. We don't know what we're doing and how to fight. Let's stone Moses and go back to Egypt. They were scared about this. Moses had listed the nations off to them a bit earlier in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 7, verse 1, when the Lord our God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and will cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And then Moses finishes with this, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Of this, they are terrified. And people of God and office bearers, though there's a certain fear about the unknown future as we stand at this moment, there can be a certain fear about what is definitely known about the future too. And that is this. There's going to be a lot of battles in 2023. Spiritual battles. Of that we may be sure. Satan is not going to relent in this new year. That you may put down and rely upon. The temptations are not going to get less in 2023. There's going to be battles to fight. Attacks from him, from the world, from our own flesh, from the conjunction of all three. There's a certain fear about this. How is this going to go? Are we going to be able to resist? As the world becomes worse and worse, expresses its rebellion against God so blatantly, overturning the most basic of common sense, laws of nature that God has written into creation. And these enemies are mightier than us. As Moses said, these seven nations are mightier and stronger than thou. The devil and his host are mightier than us. This culture is greater and mightier than us. And its ability to get itself through its mediums, through its forms into our lives. What in the world? How are we going to do this? How are we going to fight these battles as office bearers? To push this back. And keep it at bay from this congregation and the lives of God's people. What kinds of things are we going to have to face? How are we going to have to lead as office bearers? When perhaps other people want to lay down and just let it all wash over them and say, I'm done. I'm going back to Egypt. How are we going to have to lead and encourage God's people when they're in danger and maybe they don't even realize they're in danger? To stand in the gap and to say, no, this may be for truth and for right and the safety of God's own. How will we stand against false doctrine, against twisted thinking, ungodly living, addictions, double lives? What matters as office bearers are going to consume us into late hours of the night, keep us up at night on our knees? What committee visits will I have to make where I get done with this visit? And it was like Satan was in the room. I was doing battle with him there. What bouts of discouragement will come upon me in this coming year, two or three? How about for us, congregation? What temptations, sins, attacks, battles will we face? How will we be tempted to become so overburdened by the struggles to the point of collapse? Temptations of the world upon our little ones and our not so little ones anymore. Battles that we'll face at work. Battles that we'll face in our family, in our home. Battles that are ahead for us as parents, perhaps with our children, maybe. Some are just becoming teenagers, and in this year, parents will face that. Battles for the souls of the covenant youth, and that's what they are. This year will bring battles, great battles, and there's a certain fear in that. And finally, third, the reason for fear in the text is the high calling that is given in the face of both of these things. Verse 7, spoken to Joshua, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." What a calling. "Thou shalt cause them to inherit it," Joshua. Not, of course, in the sense that this is ultimately grounded upon Joshua. It is God's work. And Moses reminded Israel and Joshua of that too in verse 5. "And the Lord shall give them up before your face." But what he means is this: Joshua, you are going to be a tool in God's hand to strengthen, to preserve, to keep, to bring them into this land of Canaan. I have set you up, Joshua, into this position, and I have not set anybody else up. I don't want Moses to be in this position. I want you. And you must take up this calling, and I will use you as a tool in my hand for the good of this people. You don't think they're terrified, Joshua? "Thou shalt cause them to enter into the land." Such is your calling, office bearers. Such is your calling, parents in your home. Such is our calling, individuals in the office of believer, in our influence over others. God sets you up. God sets you up, office bearers, into this holy office. And he places this upon you, that you're called to lead this people through this wilderness. You're called to think about their safety, to work for their safety. You're called to keep them mindful of the fact that it's Canaan we're going to, that we're pilgrims and strangers here. To encourage them not to lay down and to go back to Egypt and all the difficulties that are ahead. But keep their eyes fixed on the goal, protecting them so that they're not decimated along the way, so that they're kept together in peace, unified in the truths of God's word, safe from apostasy, which is ever a threat, safe from their own selves, which are ever a threat, our own natures, setting them before the word of God with conviction and encouragement. This is the way to go, people of God. This is the way to go. So that you're able to say, by the time you exit this office, what Moses did on the day of his death: "I call heaven and earth to record this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, and have called you to love the Lord and to follow his way." It's God's work ultimately, to be sure, and we'll get to that again in a moment. God preserves his own always and will. But in part, he uses office bearers as tools in his hand, equipped by him with this calling upon them. What a word. Cause them to inherit the land. The burden of that high calling upon them. The fear of the unknown future and the fear of what is known about the future are what before. What are before Israel and Joshua. And in the face of that, when it is entirely logical that you would be afraid of that, Moses stands up and says to both, "Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't be terrified and paralyzed by what is before you." There is, of course, a certain proper kind of fear, a certain healthy fear that's a kind of respect for these sobering realities. There'd be a problem, wouldn't there, if there was a kind of overconfidence that doesn't take these realities seriously. A dangerous thing for an office bearer. And if an office bearer comes into office and has no nerves at all about taking up this calling, there's something seriously wrong. If a parent has no nerves at all about the job that they are called to do, the vocation that God places upon them, there's something seriously wrong. If any individual looks up to another year in this world, 2023, and has no sense of soberness of the enemy that is after us, there's a spiritual problem. There's a healthy kind of respect for all of these realities. But that's not the fear Moses is talking about when he says, do not fear. There's another kind of fear, a fear that goes beyond the line of that. Where it's not just a recognition of the sobering reality that turns you then up to God and says, God, I need thy strength to face this, but a kind of looking at those things that sends you into such a dread terror that you're paralyzed by it. You're forced inward and you're shell-shocked by it. Kind of like the young man or men in World War II. And there's reports that some were like this. You can understand it. That sitting in the trenches, and as the enemy is coming toward them, they become so terribly afraid. They're paralyzed. They can't fire the gun. Even as the enemy is bearing down upon them, they can't do it. And instead, they huddle down in a fetal position, and they're shell-shocked, paralyzed by it. That's what Moses is talking about in this text. There's two words that he uses to describe the fear that he's talking about when he says, fear not. The first is in verse 6, when it says, fear not, nor be afraid of them. Nor be afraid is a different Hebrew word. It's a word that means to tremble in dread terror. And then in verse 8, he says, fear not, neither be dismayed. And that word dismayed in Hebrew is another word altogether again. That means to be shattered or paralyzed, so that you get the sense. You're so frightened by this that you can't move, you can't do what you're called to do. Like the office bearer who can't do the work that he needs to do. He's so terrified by the weight of this, by the prospect of what this means in his own life, in the lives of God's people, that he can see what needs to be done. He can articulate it. He can even see the danger, the threat for God's people or in this particular situation. But he can't do it. He can't say it. He can't say what needs to be said. He's terrified. He's terrified of what they'll think, of what people will think of. He will mess up. He's shell-shocked. He's paralyzed. Or the parent. The parent who can see the effect of sin upon the child and see that this child is being attacked in a very particular way and they're being influenced in a particular way, and I'm watching it and I know what needs to be done, but I can't do it. He's terrified. He's paralyzed. How's my child going to react? Can I even say something to him? I have my sins too, you know. And he shuts down and won't do what he's called to do. That's what Moses is speaking about when he says, fear not. Yes, have a healthy respect for it, but one that turns you to God and seeks strength from him and then goes out and does it for his glory. Fear not. Easy to say. But Moses doesn't just say it and leave it at that. He also provides two grounds that when known, when remembered, when reapplied to the conscience again, again, and again, releases that paralyzing fear. And notice, first, that neither of those grounds are something like this. I believe in you, Joshua. I believe in you, Israel. And if you would just believe in yourself, then you could do it. All you have to do is dig down deep and Trust in yourself and you'll get it done. He points them away from themselves, up to God. The reason not to fear is not you, it's God with you. Moses reminds them about God with them as the first ground for why this paralyzing fear must melt away from them so that they can take up their calling and do what they're called to do. He uses three phrases in verse 8 to speak about this God with them. First, he says, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee." He it is that doth go before thee, in front of you, leading you. And of course, here you think of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that led Israel, showed them the pathway. And of the ark of the covenant that went before the people. God leading them, going before them. And Moses says he's going to keep doing that, even though I'm not here. He's not going to forsake that position in your life. He's going to lead you himself with the pillar of cloud and fire. When you cross the Jordan River, it'll be the ark that goes first. When you march around Jericho, it'll be the ark that goes before the people. God will lead you. And the same is true for us, people of God. In this new year, as we enter into offices in the church, as a congregation, He will go before us. By His eternal decree, His predeterminate counsel, He is going before us. He has determined everything that will happen in 2023 and beyond, and everything that will happen in our lives. And in His unfolding of that decree in His providence, He's going before us, and He's setting the pathway out before us. All will be according to His good and perfect plan. Nothing will happen that was not previously determined. Everything that has been determined is for the good of His church. He goes before us by His word. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. His word directs our pathway. Follow the word, people of God. It is the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire that goes before us. It directs us what steps to take. Be men of the word, office bearers. Understand the word. Apply the word to the lives of God's people. And then trust that He will accomplish His sovereign plan. But not only does His being with us mean that He goes in front of us and leads us, but it also means that He takes us along the pathway that He is leading us. The second phrase of verse 8, "And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee, He will also be with thee." Here is the omnipresence of God going before you, in front of you, leading you, and at the same time with you, present with you along that pathway on which He's leading you. And there you think not only of the pillar of cloud and fire that led them, but of the tabernacle that was at the same time with them, amongst them. A picture of God's indwelling presence among them as they followed the pillar of cloud and fire. And of the Holy Spirit who indwells God's people, is with them, is leading them to trust the word that goes before them, and when they walk against that word, to return. He's with us. And then third, the final phrase in verse 8. Moses says, "This God who goes before you and this God who is with you will never abandon either of those two positions in your life. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee, He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee." He won't abandon those two positions in 2023. He won't abandon those two positions in the life of the church, office bearers. It's a promise to his people. And he's ever kept this promise throughout the whole history of his church. He did lead Joshua by the ark, by the angel of Jehovah. He was with the people in the tabernacle. Later, when you get to the time of Solomon and the temple is in the land of Canaan, he showed his presence was with them by the glory of the Shekinah that entered into that temple so greatly that the Levites had to flee out of it. So was his presence in it. Later, he fulfilled his promise to be Emmanuel, God with us. God came and dwelt amongst us to show us that he's still with his church in Jesus Christ. Jesus ascended into heaven, poured out his Spirit upon the church to show that he is still with us, even in this day. He never abandons this position. Here's the most glorious truth. Congregation, office bearers, what about all those questions? What about all those fears? Never will he forsake this place, leading and with us as we go to the future. And that's how he can make the promise found in verse 7, which promise is the other solid ground that removes paralyzing fear. The first was that he's always with us. The second is this, verse 7, "For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn to their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." That's the calling for Joshua. Thou shalt cause them to inherit it. But at the same time, it's a promise. Because notice, it's not, "You must lead this people, Joshua, and we'll see if you cause them to inherit it. Hopefully you will, but it really depends upon how good you do." You shall cause them to inherit it. This is sure. This is not weighing in the balance, Joshua. He tells Joshua this as he sets him up as office bearer in the church before he ever steps a foot into the Jordan or to the land of Canaan. "We will get into that land and it will be yours." He does the same here. All of God's elect will end in Canaan. His people will come to glory. They shall enter the land. And now he'll use you unto that end. But it's not weighing in the balance. He will use you, and you shall. In spite of your own weaknesses, in your own feelings that you're not qualified for this, that you can't do it, he will use you. He has put you here. Not you. He has. He wants you here. And he will use you unto that end. He will. It shall come to pass. Don't be afraid. And parents, don't be afraid. Paralyzed. Whatever your calling is, don't be afraid. His people will end in glory. And joy of all joys, he will use you unto that. He's determined that. It's a blessing to you. It's our inheritance, people of God. It's not our wage. It shall cause them to inherit it. An inheritance is a free gift of a father to children. It isn't something earned. You don't earn Canaan for them, office bearers, by how good you do in your office. You don't earn heaven, beloved, by how good you handle 2023. You don't earn heaven for your children by never making any mistakes as a parent. It's given as an inheritance to his people. In the blood of Jesus Christ, earned by him, he'll use you, and you take that calling seriously and soberly, and you cry out to him, "Give me strength, O God, because this is beyond me." But this melts, doesn't it? This paralyzing fear that keeps you from moving for him. Knowing these things, then, beloved, instead of being paralyzed by debilitating fear, as we face the future that is before us, we can be strong. On the basis of these grounds, Moses publicly charges the people and Joshua himself, not only negatively do not fear, but also positively be strong and of a good courage in your work. Charge that is based upon his instruction to this point. And at the same time, the scriptures charge that of you and of me at the head of 2023. On the basis of those two realities, those promises, not only is the charge to you, people of God, and only is the charge to you, office bearers, do not be afraid with terrorizing, paralyzing fear, but be strong, and of good courage. Take up your work with courage for the Lord. The Lord has given you this task to do. Take it up as from him. Put yourself into it. And serve him in this and all the callings he gives you. Have resolve that he places you here and he will use you to defend this people. He will use you to encourage this people. He will use you to strengthen this people. Those in God's presence with you, beloved, give you that strength. He's with me. He's not far away. He's here. He's promised to be with me. I know that. I don't need to be afraid of the unknown future. When I have this promise that he's with me and that he's already settled the matter of whether or not we end in Canaan. I don't have to fear all the enemies with a terrorizing fear. I'm afraid of them with a certain sober reality, but not terrorized, because I know what he has determined. I don't need to let this high calling paralyze me, because he's put me here, and he's determined to use me, and he's going to take his people home. His promises are sure, beloved. Trust him. He gave Israel, and he gave Joshua what he promised. He led them into the land. And he will do the same for us. Be strong. Fear not. Amen. Father in heaven, bless the proclamation of thy word to us as we face a new year and new callings for thy glory. Amen.